I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
Because we're from the greatest city in the world, and we are the NBA 2019 Champions of the World.
The city of Toronto, the country, the country of Canada, we did it. We bought a home, and we want everybody to celebrate.
The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. And for point guard Kyle Lowry, it's been a long time coming.
Words can't explain how I feel. It's been a long, long time, 13 years of NBA basketball. And to be able to say I'm a world champion, you know, it makes me feel great. And to do it with the group of guys that we did it with is amazing.
An NBA expansion team in 1995, Toronto becomes the first team based outside of the United States to win the league championship. The defending champion Golden State Warriors were looking to force a decisive Game 7 after coming from behind in the closing seconds to win Game 5 by 1 point.
People thought that we would kind of be like, oh man, we gave away Game 5, but the group of guys that we have, we've been able to stay level-headed the whole time, and understanding that we had a team that was going to come out here and play extremely hard, fans were going to be loud, and they were going to fight to the death. And that's the one thing about that group, they fought to the death, and they got some great guys down there, great coaches, and you know, we tip our hats to those guys because they you know, they're the definition of champions.
Toronto held off the Warriors, plagued by a string of serious injuries, to take Game 6 114-110 and earn the first championship in franchise history. Forward Kawhi Leonard, who won an NBA title in 2014 as a member of the San Antonio Spurs, was named the finals most valuable player.
Obviously, y'all didn't come out in this series trying to win it. It was a whole group, collectively. Tonight, Fred played amazing in that fourth. Kyle played amazing tonight throughout the whole game. Pascal played big. You know, I just kept striving and pushing, and, you know, I ended up with the trophy, but everybody deserves it.
Golden State coach Steve Kerr offered no apologies for losing. Impressed with his team's championship runs over the past 5 seasons, resiliency amid injuries, and up against a tough Toronto team that targeted superstar Steph Curry.
You know, Steph was getting hounded this entire series. Toronto did a great job on him, sending 2-3 people at him, hounding him and harassing him, and you know, especially without Clay to rely on in that fourth quarter, I thought he got a little worn down.
Curry, who has single-handedly fought off teams in the past and put them away with last-second buzzer beaters, wasn't able to send Golden State to a seventh game.
Yeah, it's a tough feeling, you know, being on this side of losing in the finals, but I think a lot has been, you know, proven about who we are as a team and the fight that we have and all the adversity that we dealt with, and, you know, this entire playoff run, and it's a one possession game to keep our season alive tonight. So we'll be thinking about this one. It's tough, but our DNA and who we are, and you know, the character that we have on this team, I wouldn't bet against us, you know, being back on the stage, you know, next year and going forward.
Even losing, Coach Kerr was amazed his team still had a chance.
Amazement that that we're sitting in this position, you know, with, you know, during the game, we have a chance to win the game, force a Game 7, go back to Toronto, and you just think, how has this group of guys put themselves in position to do it.
Curry says the Warriors, with 3 championships in the past 5 years, are not finished as many predict.
You know, how hard do you work to try to get back to the stage? You know, soak up this feeling, because obviously we celebrated, we've had champagne, we've had, you know, rings, but this is the more motivating feeling in terms of how do you respond, how do you turn the page to new challenges ahead. So we'll be all right.
There is some doubt about the future of Toronto with Kawhi Leonard now a free agent.
I wanted to make history here, and that's all I did. I just, you know, I'm still playing basketball no matter what jersey I have on. And the guys here been, you know, making runs in the playoffs before I came. So I know they're a talented team, and, you know, I just came in with the right mindset. Let's go out and win ball games.
As for singer Drake, who was at the Raptors parade, the Toronto win breaks the so-called Drake curse, where teams with whom he has previously appeared lose.
I don't know nothing about the Drake curse.
A lot of y'all are still sounding like last year. The game need changing.
I don't know nothing about the Drake curse. That's my homie. That's my friend. So I don't know nothing about the curse.
I just want to be successful. This concludes the session in here for tonight. Thank you. Safe travels, everyone.
It was perhaps the ultimate worst-to-first sports story.
You dreamed this for so long, and, you know, as a kid, I just like that feeling comes back to you, just like what it means to win this thing. And I still can't believe this. This is, I can't believe I'm here right now and a Stanley Cup champion with this group of guys.
Center Ryan O'Reilly hoisted the Stanley Cup with his teammates as the St. Louis Blues won their first NHL championship in the 52 years of the team's existence.
The cup, you know, is the ultimate goal, and just trying to go out there and be the spark and try to make a difference, and, you know, have the names on this thing and to be a part of that group. Like, you know, most of these guys on here, I pretended I was as a kid, and now to be, you know, on that with them, it's an incredible feeling.
St. Louis was at one point dead last in the NHL standings, but somehow slowly clawed its way to the playoffs.
It was tough. I think we were all questioning each other, and we got frustrated, and, you know, we kept working, though. You know, we had great leadership at all sorts of different times to keep working, and eventually, you know, things started to click, and we figured out how to have success, and as a group, we just came together, and we found the identity, and there's so many guys that work so hard for this, and we're so unselfish, it's incredible.
The franchise brought in coach Craig Berube the day before Thanksgiving to try to salvage a dismal season. Certainly, a Stanley Cup was not on his mind as he lost his first game behind the bench.
Well, you don't think that far ahead at that time. I was just worried about the next game. That's the honest truth. I mean, but, you know, we went through a lot as a team, and, you know, we ended up battling our way into the playoffs. So then you start to think about, you know, what can happen now. So, but we had to get there first of all.
Berube had to get his players to buy into an idea.
Put the team first, and that, you know, that was been a message for quite some time, and they've done a real good job of that. The players, they believe in it, and you know we're champs. But I think just that once they got that message and they started playing, you know, mid-December, we started to really pull it together.
Reaching the finals, St. Louis had to face one of the oldest franchises in the league, the Boston Bruins. The best of seven series was close, and it went to a final Game 7 in Boston.
The first period, I thought we were good. They had some real good opportunities, but Benner stood tall. They had the momentum after that, though. But then we get that goal by Petro. I think that changed things. I think we had a lot more confidence coming out in the second period. I thought our second period was pretty good. We had some good opportunities in the second period. We didn't score. But, you know, I really liked, you know, I thought we got better even in the third, just from a checking standpoint more than anything, just not giving them anything, you know, keeping it on the outside. And Benner had to make a couple big saves in the third, but I thought we did a real good job with our checking in the third period.
Berube credits very physical play for the Blues' convincing 4-1 win.
It's been important all year. I think that's the type of team we are. We're a heavy team. You know, we're a hard forechecking team. That's our, you know, go-to. You know, we want to get on a forecheck. We want to be physical. We want to be hard to play against.
Ryan O'Reilly was awarded the Conn Smythe Trophy as the most valuable player of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
His work ethic and his production for us all year and then throughout the playoffs. I mean, he was just a relentless hockey player for a long time. Never quits, and just such a smart two-way player. He's a special player.
As for Riley,
from knowing a bunch of guys on the team and then looking at the roster, I was so amped up, and I just said, let's go win a cup. And for that to kind of come true, it was always there that we could do it, but to actually do it, it's exhausting. I'm exhausted.
Gary Woodland is likely the best golfer you've never heard of.
I've just always believed in myself. No matter what I've done from when I was a young kid, I always believed I'd be successful. I'd always believe I would play professional sports. I didn't know what sport that would be, but I always believed I would be in this moment.
Woodland's moment came at the U.S. Open, played this year at the famed Pebble Beach Golf Links in California. Woodland always wanted to be a professional athlete. Golf was not his first choice.
I always believed if basketball didn't work out, I could fall back on golf. And our first game, we played, you know, Kansas at the University of Kansas. They were ranked number one in Division One. We were ranked number two in Division Two. And that decision got forced on me really quickly. I was guarding Kurt Heinrich and like, okay, I need to find something else because this ain't going to work. And that was my first game in college. You know, I was a two-time state champion, all-state, blah, blah, blah. But that was a different level.
Woodland and two-time defending champion Brooks Koepka became just the fourth and fifth players ever to card all four rounds in the 60s. Woodland had held tournament leads seven times before heading into the final round. He won none of those events.
It's an uncomfortable situation leading a major championship after 36 holes, after 54 holes. But I kept telling myself, even this morning, to enjoy this moment. Enjoy the pressure. Enjoy the stress. Enjoy being uncomfortable. And, you know, don't shy away from it. Embrace it. And that's what I really tried to do, is they embrace that pressure all day. And I think that helped me stay a little more calm.
He knew the world number one Koepka would be charging hard, trying to become just the second golfer besides Willie Anderson 114 years earlier to have won three consecutive U.S. Opens.
Brooks got off to a great start, and you knew he was going to come out. The conditions, the wind was down a little bit early in the round. You could play more aggressive. Obviously, those first couple holes, you can attack. And he did that. So it was nice for me to make that birdie on two to give myself confidence. You know, obviously what he's done the last couple years is phenomenal. So it was nice. I told him when I got done, he needs to slow down a little bit. I saw it all day. He was knocking on the door. So I was proud of myself to stay in my moment and control myself and not get too worried about what he was doing.
As impressive as his three-shot win over Koepka was, Woodland says he can be better.
I don't think my game's where it needs to be, but it's getting there. I'm becoming a more complete player. I have more shots. I can rely more on my putting now. I can rely on my short game, things I couldn't do even last year.
He'll keep working at it.
I don't take many days off. I always feel, you know, if I'm taking a day off, somebody's getting better and I'm not. So I don't like to take time off. I like to work. I've got a lot more quality in my work than quantity over time.
His quality comes from a simple countdown.
I shot free throws really well. I shot 90%. I did it in college as well. And I counted in my head. And that's what I do when I hit golf shots. That's what I do when I hit putts. I count in my head one, two, three, and I go after three. That just kind of calms me down. So I rely on trying to transition that free throw shooting into my golf shot every time I hit.
One, two, three. Gary Woodland is the U.S. Open champion.
Thanks, guys. Thanks.
This week at the KPMG Women's PGA Championship at Hazeltine, there's a contest within a major contest. It's the second of the LPGA's five majors and also features the Aon Risk Reward Challenge, a program that highlights golf's best and most strategic decision makers. The challenge designates one hole at each event. This week it's the par 4 16th. The players' two best scores count toward a season-long leaderboard. Leanne Pace currently leads, while 15-time LPGA winner Lydia Ko is holding down fifth in the standings.
You know, fairway percentage, and, you know, how many times you make up and down, it kind of narrows down where you need to put in your time to work on certain areas. Yeah, I think that's a great thing and fortunate thing about us these days that, you know, we get the technology to be able to and use it to our benefit.
It's a season-long competition that the global professional services firm brought to both the LPGA and the PGA Tour, and that makes it unique. Equal prize money in men's and women's golf to the tune of $1 million to the player atop the Aon leaderboard at each season's end.
I think it's great that, you know, they do that obviously for the PGA, and, you know, they showed their support for us, and I think it's, you know, the first time that it's kind of the same same kind of reward system for both tours. So yeah, no, I think it's very exciting. And you know, with this, you know, maybe if other companies, you know, can kind of get into this kind of initiative.
The winner on each tour will have the best average score to par at the end of the regular season. On the PGA Tour, Jason Day and Brooks Koepka are 1 and 2 in the Aon Risk Reward Challenge, but clearly a $1 million payout will mean even more to players who don't make nearly as much prize money as their male counterparts, or as Lydia Ko puts it.
It's great that a company like Aon is, you know, loving and supporting the amazing tour, and I feel like there's such amazing talent here, so it's great that with their help we can showcase more of the talent of the women's game.
Our thanks for this story go to contributor George McNeely. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.